All right, so let's jump into something pretty fascinating today. We're going deep on a California case, Marriage of Vallejo, and why it's kind of a linchpin in understanding how property gets split up when a marriage ends.
Yeah, this one is a classic example. It shows how California tries to balance that whole community property idea with, you know, each person still having some stuff of their own.
Right, because it's not always so clear-cut, is it?
Definitely not. And this case is especially important for anyone going into law because it shows you just how tricky things can get.
For sure. So imagine this, right? Frankie and Randy Vallejo married for 20 years. Mm. During that time, Frankie buys a life insurance policy.
And not just any policy, right? This one's worth a cool $3.75 million.
Huge. And he used money they both earned, community funds. But here's the kicker. He names Randy as the owner and the beneficiary. Now, fast forward, they get divorced. And boom, the big question hits. Is this policy community property, or is it all Randy's?
And wouldn't you know it, even the lower courts couldn't agree.
That's like a legal tug of war.
Exactly. The trial court initially said community property. You know, bought with joint money, joint property. Makes sense.
Seems straightforward enough.
Right. But then the Court of Appeal flips it, saying, nope, her name's on it, it's hers. Total head scratcher.
Talk about a curveball. So who steps in to settle the score? The California Supreme Court. And they basically say, whoa, hold up, let's rewind. They side with the trial court, ruling that the policy is community property. So today we're unpacking why they made that decision. What does it tell us about how California views property rights within a marriage?
Absolutely. And a big part of the Supreme Court's reasoning comes down to this idea of transmutation. It's all about how something shifts from being community property to being separate property.
Okay, so let's break that down. First things first, what exactly is this community property presumption everyone keeps talking about? I mean, why is it so important in cases like this?
So, under California Family Code Section 760, anything a married couple gets during their marriage, unless it's a gift or inheritance, is automatically considered community property. That's the starting point.
So basically the default setting is shared.
Exactly. And that makes things pretty clear in most cases. But then you get situations like the Valleys, where things get a little murky. You've got the policy purchased during the marriage, clearly not a gift or inheritance to Randy specifically. So it starts off in that community property bucket.
Right. But then there's Randy's name all over the policy. Did the Supreme Court just ignore that?
Not at all. This is where transmutation comes into play. In California, if you want to change the legal status of an asset like from community to separate property, you can't just do it casually. You have to follow specific rules spelled out in Family Code Section 852. And that process of changing the property's character, that's transmutation.
So it's not a DIY project. There's a legal process you have to follow.
Exactly. And the key thing is, for it to be legit, it's got to be in writing. And that writing has to have an express declaration, meaning the document itself has to clearly state that the ownership is changing. Just sticking your spouse's name on something, even if it's a $3.75 million policy, isn't enough by itself.
So in the Vallejo's case, Frankie putting Randy's name on the policy didn't automatically make it her separate property.
Nope. The Supreme Court said, sure, that's a step, but it doesn't meet the legal bar. There was no document signed by Frankie that specifically said, hey, I want this policy, which we bought with our shared money, to now be Randy's and Randy's alone.
So what about the Court of Appeal? They were all about that evidence code, section 662, right? The whole whoever's name is on it owns it thing.
Right. They thought that should apply here. But the Supreme Court said, hold on, we're dealing with a divorce here. And when it comes to stuff acquired during the marriage, family code rules trump everything else. It's like the family code is the boss in these situations.
And their reasoning makes sense. If just having your name on something automatically made it your separate property, that would throw the whole concept of community property out the window, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, Justice Chin, in his concurring opinion, makes a really compelling argument about this. Think about it. How often are things only in one spouse's name? Bank accounts, retirement funds, stock options from work.
It happens all the time.
Right. But those are still generally considered community property. If simply having title made it separate property, that would drastically weaken the whole system.
And Justice Chin didn't hold back. He basically said evidence code 662 shouldn't even apply in disputes between spouses over stuff they got during their marriage. He argued the family code's rules on community property are perfectly capable of handling those situations on their own.
Yeah, he felt strongly about that. And you can see his point. The family code really lays out a comprehensive system for figuring out who owns what in a divorce.
So a big takeaway for anyone listening, especially those future lawyers out there, that community property label in California divorce cases, it carries serious weight. You can't just scribble your spouse's name on something and call it a day. You need that clear written declaration if you want to change ownership from community to separate.
Couldn't agree more. And the Vowell case really drives that point home. It's a prime example of why informal agreements about marital assets can turn into huge legal headaches later on.
And there's a good reason why the courts are so strict about this. The Supreme Court made it clear. These written requirements are there to prevent fraud, perjury, and those he said, she said, battles that can get ugly fast in divorce cases. Having things in writing makes it way easier for the courts to make fair decisions.
Makes total sense. Without these rules, imagine how easy it would be for someone to claim, oh, that car, that was always meant to be a gift, even if it wasn't. Things could get messy really quickly.
So for our law students listening, what's the biggest lesson they should take from all of this?
I'd say it's twofold. First, understand just how strong the community property presumption is in California. And second, know those Family Code Section 852 requirements like the back of your hand. Especially if your clients are thinking about changing the character of their property.
Because if they want something to be separate property, they need more than just a name change.
Right. They need that rock-solid documentation, that written statement of intent from the get-go. Otherwise, if things go south, they might be in for a surprise.
So big picture, in California divorces, community property is the starting line. And to change that, you need clear written proof that both spouses agreed. It's not enough to just put a name on a title, even with the best intentions. You need that paper trail.
Absolutely. It all comes down to clarity and fairness, especially in a situation that can be as emotionally charged as a divorce.
Well, there you have it, folks. A deep dive into the marriage of Vail and I. Hopefully this sheds some light on this super important part of California divorce law.
It's definitely a case that reveals a lot about the subtleties of community property and transmutation. Lots to think about.
For sure. But before we wrap up, here's a final thought, especially for those aspiring legal eagles out there. Given what we've learned from the Vail case, how might this impact the advice you'd give clients about not just taking title to assets, but also their overall estate planning?
That's a great point.
Think about it. How can they be proactive in clearly defining what's what within their marriage so they can avoid potential conflicts down the line?
It's all about being prepared and knowing the rules of the game.
Exactly. That's something to keep in mind as you all embark on your legal careers. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.